It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning. The Lightning is on the radio. Oh, the Lightning is on the streets. The Lightning is in your mailboxes. And it is Thursday morning, which means the Lightning is on your radio. Of course, we missed last Thursday because last Thursday was Thanksgiving. So, Bill Moss, great to have you back for Lightning Radio this morning. Thank you, sir.
And great to be back on board Lightning Radio.
Let's hit it off with of course, the headline in this week's Lightning. The front page, Colonel Hawkins giving up his gavel as the curtain falls on his second career. You've got a great profile story here on Colonel Grady Hawkins.
Yeah, Colonel Hawkins, tired we call him, gives up the gavel as the curtain falls on his second career. His lead story, a little bit not always the hard news, but I would call it a scoop. Nevertheless, I don't think anybody's had a profile of this magnitude and depth of Grady Hawkins, maybe ever. I can't remember reading one or writing one or editing one in the last 25 years. So back just about that far, a little bit longer actually here in Henderson County, but we start at the very beginning, you might say, in the Inca Candler community in Buncombe, where he grew up. People might remember the American Inca plant. That's where his dad, a chemist, that's where his dad worked. His mom was a homemaker, and we start out with a little bit of Grady's athletic history as a football player at for the Inca Jets and a sprinter for Inca. Play football at Carolina.
Huh.
I mean, he ran track at Carolina. Excuse me.
Okay.
He thought of they had a tryout at Inca. His coach arranged for Wake Forest football to time and test and drill the boys. And Grady was a running back. He was a halfback for the Inca Jets, and he tried out. He didn't make that Wake Forest varsity football, but he was fast enough to get a track scholarship. UNC offered him a track scholarship, and that's pretty much where he started his military career as well.
Interesting. And of course, you talk about he's giving up the gavel. So how much longer will he be serving Henderson County now?
Oh, about three more days, Mark.
Well, there
but
you go.
Before we get that, I wanted to get a little bit after he joined. He did join the Air Force ROTC and Chapel Hill at UNC at Chapel Hill, and he went on after that to a 25-year career in the Air Force, moving up from he got commissioned as a second lieutenant when he completed ROTC and graduated from Carolina. And then went on first to Bombardier and Navigator School, and then eventually pilot training, and was a pilot for a long, long time, and a pilot instructor, and ultimately a base commander out at Mather Air Force Base in Sacramento, which is where he started Bombardier and Navigator School, and that's where he finished up in base commander school. Served, of course, a tour of pretty robust combat duty in Vietnam, flying 310 missions, I think it was.
Wow. Wow.
And 770 hours of air combat, straddling 1967 and 1968. So a lot of interesting anecdotes, a lot of war stories in the profile. And then we do, to circle back, to kind of go out the door we came in, we do end up with his service in two separate terms, in two separate 8-year tenures as a Henderson County commissioner, which ends, to answer your question, finally, on Monday night.
Wow.
I think there'll be some ceremonial farewell and gratitude and maybe some additional stories about Commissioner Grady Hawkins, retired Air Force Colonel Grady Hawkins, and soon to be Grady Hawkins citizen.
Wow. And great pictures here also. I love the picture that you have here on the front page of a medal being pinned on him by General Benjamin Davis Jr., who was one of the Tuskegee Airmen.
Absolutely right. Well, thank you to Grady Hawkins, and thank you also to County Manager Steve White, who really I have to give a shout out as one of the inspirations. We would have done a little something, maybe something fairly big on Grady Hawkins, but County Manager Steve White somehow appropriated these Air Force career photos. I'm sure must have been from Grady himself. County Manager White somehow appropriated these, and he's been showing them on a slideshow and to open every meeting. Oh, in the last, I'd say, four or five meetings at least, he's shown all of these that we run here in the paper, and he's had a fun time talking about that, and Grady's had a fun time reminiscing just very briefly right before the meeting, as they showed. As you say, the General Benjamin O. Davis Jr., who was a commander of the legendary Tuskegee Airmen in World War II, pinning a medal on a very young-looking Lieutenant Grady Hawkins at Clark Air Base in the Philippines during the Vietnam War. It's a fun story. I think it has some depth and some insight. I hope. The kind of things that I think people we invite people to enjoy in the Lightning, and they do.
Yeah, a great read. So pick up your Lightning and read the story of Grady Hawkins. And thank you, Grady Hawkins, for your service to the country and your service to our county. Let's stay on politics for just a minute, Bill, and a story that is not in this week's Lightning, but is on your website, hendersonvillelightning.com, and that is news from the Flat Rock Village Council.
Staying on politics, excuse me, staying on a couple, they wouldn't call themselves politicians for sure, but a couple of council members who leave in, I would say, maybe less happy circumstances than Commissioner Hawkins is going to leave his county commission seat. And that is the story of Council Member Cheryl Jamerson, who would have been finishing up a second term, and I think you know Paige Posey, would have been finishing up next November her first term. They are on the short end of a 4-3, a lot of 4-3 votes over some major, I'd say, planning decisions, policy decisions, and certainly on the whole subject of the Highland Lake Road. And they were cast into that, we say, marginalized situation because of the outcome of the November 2019 election, when that four-seat majority won control of the Flat Rock Village Council, and thus made a lot of votes and efforts to kill the Highland Lake Road project. They first made an effort to not cooperate and go to court or be a defendant in court because they were not going to sell right away willingly to the state of North Carolina. That has gotten reversed. The efforts to kill the Highland Lake Road project succeeded. That was overturned, you might say, by the votes of the County Transportation Advisory Committee, the Hendersonville City Council, the Henderson County Board of Commissioners, and the French Broad River Metropolitan Planning Organization. All those organizations continued to support the Highland Lake Road project, which is scheduled to start next spring, I think it is.
It'll be interesting when that project starts. So what's next here for the council? What happens in this situation? Is it the mayor who chooses who fills those seats? How does that happen?
It is the mayor and council, and I'm glad you mentioned that because we will have this story will grow because it'll grow online and it will be longer when it appears in the December 9 issue of the Hendersonville Lightning because we plan to speak to Mayor Nick Weedman and possibly some other council members about that process. But I believe it is the case. We've had recent examples of this in Mill River, where we've had a recent example of it in Laurel Park. We had an example of it in the Henderson County Board of Commissioners, as we talked about during our election coverage, people appointed to seats. And so these seats will, I guess they don't have to, but I believe the Flat Rock Village Council will fill these two vacancies. And those people, since both of these, both Cheryl Jamerson's and Paige Posey's term expire in December, technically, these people seated, if they are seated now, will stand for election if they choose to in November, or someone else can run for these seats.
Okay. All right. Well, as usual, the Lightning, of course, will stay on this story. And we're going to stay with the Lightning here in just a little bit. We're going to take our break. You're listening to Lightning Radio here on WTZQ.
Happy fall from Kaysen Oil Company. Fuel prices have dropped, so now is the time to get your oil before the cold weather is here. Schedule your delivery today by calling 693-0246. Family owned and operated, Kaysen Oil Company, serving our community for over 40 years.
And we are back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, it is very cold now, but I promise it is going to warm up, and it'll warm up for some hiking. And you've got a couple of stories, a story here in the print version and a story online about some hiking trails and some hiking trail links. Talk to us about those stories, Bill.
Yeah, nice weather. I can assure you some of the more avid hikers, they'll be out there even on a day like today, because it's going to be, I think it's going to be clear, right?
Yeah.
Even if cold. And that's okay. Conditions to hike up to the top of Bear Walla Mountain, because now they've got, they announced, I think it was last week, we sent our reporter, Andrew Dundas, lives in Fairview, but he's a senior at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and he's one of those avid hikers. So he was delighted when I assigned him this story to go out there for the ribbon cutting. Chuck McGrady was out there, Representative John Hadger was out there, and a bunch of people, folks, of course, from Conserving Carolina were out there to dedicate this new segment that links the Bear Walla Mountain Trail and the Wildcat Rock Trail and get you up to the summit of Bear Walla Mountain, which I believe is the second highest peak in Henderson County. So read all about that, the trail with an ambitious 130-mile Hickory Nut Gorge Trail system that Conserving Carolina has been spearheading for quite a number of years.
All right, and that's the one that that's the story that is in the print version, and you've got something online too regarding some hiking trails, correct?
Yeah, this is another hiking destination that a lot of people are familiar with, judging by the big crowds out there.
Yeah.
I know you've probably been there. It's a good place to pick wild blueberries and huckleberries in about the June. Get picked over pretty fast. Unfortunately, I don't think any get left for the bears. But the U.S. Forest Service, seeing that the Graveyard Fields trail and the parking lot there is so crowded and overcrowded, really, that it is looking at expanding access to it from the John Rock Overlook, which is at milepost 419.4 on the Blue Ridge Parkway. So that you can read the Hendersonville Lightning .com, and when you're in that store, you can link on how to react to that. The Pisgah Ranger District of the Pisgah National Forest is currently seeking public input on this Graveyard Fields project. So if you just want to go read about that, or maybe just go click on that link and say, yay, I'm for that, or if you're not for it, whatever. The Graveyard Fields area is located 25 miles southwest of Asheville, and it ranges in elevation pretty high, about 5,000 to more than 6,200 feet. So that's one of the higher elevations off the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Okay. Wow. And, of course, that story is online at HendersonvilleLightning.com. Another big a lot of school announcements here recently, and of course, one of the biggest is John Bryant, who has now been sworn in as our Henderson County public school superintendent. Very well-deserved position for him. But, boy, talk about trial by fire between trying to school during a pandemic and then the news we had last week, of course, of the shooting that happened at Hendersonville Middle School. You've got some of that story here in this week's Lightning, but you say there's more of that story to come?
Yes, exactly. Stay tuned to the HendersonvilleLightning.com and Hendersonville next week's print issue for more on that from Dr. Bryant. Yeah, you're right. He was sworn into that office on Tuesday. He's already been completely covered up, but also at the same time, I think Dr. Bryant, being Dr. Bryant, on top of the situation, meeting faculty, meeting with administrators, meeting with students, speaking with parents in a very open and transparent way, meeting with law enforcement about all the protocols surrounding safety and security. And we'll have, as I say, a follow with a little more on that in the coming days.
Okay. All right. So we'll stay tuned to that. We got some holiday happenings we're going to talk about here in just a moment. But let's go to page 3 with your story here of District Attorney Ashley Welch announcing that she has breast cancer. Tell us about that story, Bill.
Yeah, not our Henderson County Polk, Transylvania District Attorney, which is Greg Newman, but this is Hendersonville native and East Henderson High School graduate, Ashley Hornsby Welch. People might know because we've covered Ashley's career before as the daughter of Dr. Ty Hornsby and Jackie Hornsby. She once served on the Henderson County School Board, you might recall.
Yep.
And anyway, Ashley very courageously, I think, came out to and announced she information of her breast cancer and treatment, which was caught early, and she wanted to publicly share the information to raise awareness about the importance of early detection. She says, because of the threat of the coronavirus, health officials say many women are delaying or even skipping routine mammograms. I'm proof that these basic health checks save lives. So Ashley, at the young age of 42, describes a bit more about that. And she even goes on to say, going public with private information is tough, but I believe that it is the right thing to do. So that is a person in public office. We've been talking about people in public office, and here's another person in public office doing the right thing. Greater community, whether personally she might feel it's the right thing in the moment, doing the right thing for the world.
Right. So, Bill, let's touch on, before we finish Lightning Radio today, let's touch on some holiday happenings this weekend. Going to be a busy weekend in Hendersonville and Henderson County, right?
It is going to be, Mark. It's going to be a lot of the, I think they didn't have, maybe not having the old-fashioned Christmas where you know how we used to crowd into all the shops.
Yep.
And eat gingerbread and drink hot apple cider and that sort of thing. But there's still going to be some happenings going on downtown on Saturday, which is the last open streets Love Hendo Saturday, where they don't open the streets. They close the streets, but they call them open streets for some reason. So they close the streets, but not the avenues. You can walk all around the middle of the road if you want to. And there'll be lots of activities, such as the Whoville-themed gingerbread cookie contest at Narnia Studios, pet photos with Santa with Santa Paws at WAG, the unique pet boutique, photos with Santa at Team Echo, Shark Lab and Aquarium, holiday trunk show at Art Mob Studios, and much, much more. So look for that downtown. If you've probably seen it, it's already really dressed up. The Christmas lights look really pretty again this year, and those are some activities that are going on. There's also activities that day. I think it may be the last Hendersonville Farmers Market there at the historic train depot in historic 7th Avenue district. And there is MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, at I think it's about 4 o'clock at night, is going to have a ceremony and remembrance of victims of drunk driving in the historic courthouse plaza. So lots, if you go downtown on Saturday, you'll have lots to do, and you'll have a fun time, and you'll have some important observances you can go to if you'd like.
Yeah, and it sounds like a lot of fun downtown Hendersonville with the whole Whoville theme and business owners and employees dressed as as Grinches and characters from Whoville and the window paintings and all that sort of thing. So a festive scene downtown Hendersonville this weekend, right?
Absolutely. There you go. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. And then we can talk about the Walk of Fame nominations,
sure,
if you'd like.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wanted to get that in.
Yep. Well, nominations are open for the Walk of Fame. People might recall what it's been going on how long? Since 2016. The Walk of Fame was established by the Hendersonville City Council and Henderson County Board of Commissioners. And again, get your Lightning and look on page 11 for that story, or go to HendersonvilleLightning.com, and that'll give you a direct hot link to the nomination form.
Fantastic. Bill, there's still more in this week's Lightning. People need to pick up their copy. So if they are not getting it mailed to them, how can they pick up their copy of this week's Hendersonville Lightning?
Oh, by visiting any of the Lightning Orange racks all around Henderson County, or our dealer partners such as coffee shops and convenience stores, or the Publix grocery store, or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and joining those legions of folks you just mentioned that are happy to get their Lightning today by the United States Mail, or by calling Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.